Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Sievker, so very happy and blessed to be with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, we are just under 70 days away from one of the biggest and most important elections in our nation's history. You don't need me to tell you that our nation is very divided right now. There's a contingent out there pushing hard for the country to move toward socialism, especially through the tearing down of traditional marriage and family life. And then there's the opposing body, whose desire is to try to stabilize the country and get it headed back to its roots as a democratic republic, grounded in the U.S. Constitution with marriage and family as the foundation. A lot is at stake right now. We are bearing the rotten fruit of a nation which seems to have lost its way because its citizenry has failed to practice virtue, and its Christians have failed to live up to their high calling. But all is not lost, because we have, as the patroness of our country, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate Conception. And if we quiet ourselves and listen closely, we'll hear her calling us to some fervent prayer and penance, and to roll up our sleeves and get busy, because we've got a lot of work and praying to do if we want to get our nation back on track. All things are possible with God, and if we burn with love for Him and neighbor. So on today's show, we're going to discuss the upcoming election, particularly the presidential election, and even more specifically, the Catholic presidential candidate, Joe Biden. We'll also discuss the guidelines given by our bishops for how we are to vote. And we need to encourage one another right now to up our prayers, fasting, and penances, because these are crucial times. Before we tackle religion and politics on today's show, let's get started in prayer. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically, and of knowing that political loyalty does not have to mean disloyalty to you. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. We thank you for the opportunity that this election year puts before us to exercise our solemn duty not only to vote, but to influence countless others to vote and to vote correctly. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened. Let them realize that while politics is not their salvation, their response to you requires that they be politically active. Awaken your people to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken them that the same hands lifted up to you in prayer are the hands that pull the lever in the voting booth, that the same eyes that read your word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot, and that they do not cease to be Christians when they enter the voting booth. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and the family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Earlier this week, the Trump administration petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court to lift an injunction by U.S. District Judge Theodore Chong that halted FDA safety requirements for the abortion pill. A lawsuit was filed against the federal protocols on behalf of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. The college argued that the FDA's mandate that the abortion pill be dispensed to women in person during the COVID-19 pandemic constitutes an undue burden. The Trump administration strongly disagrees with that assessment and argues that, quote, the FDA FDA has made and continuously adhered to the judgment that these requirements mitigate serious health risks associated with the drug, which can increase if the patient delays taking the drug or fails to receive proper counseling about possible complications, close quote. Women who do take the abortion pill are at risk for hemorrhage, incomplete abortion, and death. And news of some shocking human rights violations have been coming out of China once again over the communist government's orders to abort and kill all babies in excess of its mandated family planning limits. Hasiat Abdullah, a Uyghur obstetrician who worked in several hospitals in northwest China's Uyghur Autonomous Region, told Radio Free Asia that maternity wards implemented strict family planning policies that intended to limit the Uyghur people and other ethnic minorities to 3 children. Every hospital had a family planning unit that was responsible for implementation. Who had how many kids, when they'd give birth to them, they tracked all of this, she said. The regulations were so strict. There had to be 3 or 4 years between children. There were babies born at 9 months who were killed after inducing labor. They did that in the maternity wards because those were the orders, Abdullah said. She further stated that babies were aborted even if their mothers were 8 and 9 months pregnant, and in some cases, medical staff would even kill the babies after they'd been born. Babies who had been born at the hospital outside of family planning limits weren't safe either, she said, adding that doctors would kill them and dispose of the body. It's an order that's been given from above. It's an order that's been printed and distributed in official documents. Hospitals get fined if they don't comply, so of course they carry this out, Abdullah stated. And a report entitled The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home has just been released by the Social Capital Project of the Joint Economic Committee Republicans. The document lays out the alarming statistics on marriage and family life and the impact that it has had on the breakdown of society. According to the report, 80% of black children are now raised by a single parent, as well as 2/3 of all children whose mothers have less than a high school education. More than half of Hispanic births are out of wedlock, as are 28% of Caucasian births, up from just 2% in 1960. The percentage of women between the ages of 15 and 44 who are married has declined from 71% in 1962 to just 42% today. And cohabitation now precedes 2/3 of all marriages, compared to just 1% 60 years ago. Finally, we are thankful to God to be able to report that no abortions were performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past week. Once again, foot traffic was way down with no scheduled appointments on Monday and Wednesday. The doors were locked very early on Tuesday. It remains uncertain what is driving this change, but it is suspected that the COVID-19 scare is having an effect. Please keep praying that this abortion facility will be permanently closed and its employees converted. And that's your weekly in the news. In Part 3, Life in Christ, Section 1, Chapter 2 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we read, "The choice of the political regime and the appointment of rulers are left to the free decision of the citizens. The diversity of political regimes is morally acceptable, provided they serve the legitimate good of the communities that adopt them. Regimes whose nature is contrary to the natural law, to the public order, and to the fundamental rights of persons cannot achieve the common good of the nations on which they have been imposed." Those are some very important words for us, particularly as Catholics, and they are worthy of our meditating upon before we cast our vote, as is the entire section on participation in social life found in the Catechism. Our voting in this upcoming November's election must not be taken lightly. Now, unfortunately, we have one major political party in this country whose platform fully endorses numerous ideologies and laws that are directly contrary to the natural law and to even some of the fundamental rights of the human person, namely the right to life. And we see this especially in the presidential ticket. Democratic presidential and vice presidential candidates Joe Biden and Kamala Harris wholly endorse the killing of unborn children up to the moment of birth, gay marriage, the LGBTQ lifestyles and lobby, the perverse sexual education of young children, transgenderism, and the use of gender pronouns. And they think you should accept these things and even pay for them with your tax dollars. Now, let's be crystal clear here. These new social ideas that I just mentioned completely undermine and threaten the sacred institutions of marriage and family, and thus society. Now, this is not to judge the culpability of those who have been ensnared by Satan's wiles, like those women who have had abortions, those actively living a homosexual lifestyle, those who believe they are a sex other than their biological one. These are poor, wounded souls who need our love, our prayers, our penances, so that grace can be obtained for their release and conversion. And whether they realize it or not, they need us to be courageous, to lovingly speak the truth to them and to society in general, encouraging them to aim much higher and to embrace a virtuous life. And there is the need for us to be very patient and compassionate with them so as to bring them along into the light of truth. That's quite a tall order to fill, but with our Lord's and Lady's help, we can do this. We must at least try. And we must also vote with this in mind. So let's state right from the start that we have our Holy Mother Church providing us with the light and guidance we need in these stormy times to see how we are to vote in a way that is holy and just. A moment ago, I read several statements to you from the Catechism that are foundational to how we are to cast our ballot. If a party or individual does not even follow the natural law, then we may not elect such a person. We also have our good shepherds, the U.S. bishops, who also illumine the path. At the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Fall General Assembly last November, a letter was crafted and adopted by the bishops that was to aid Catholics on how to vote in the 2020 elections. A key statement made in that letter reads, "The threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself, because it takes place within the sanctuary of the family, and because of the vast numbers of lives it destroys." In other words, when we look at any candidate and see that he or she supports abortion, the murder of unborn children in the womb, we can quickly and easily rule out that candidate. Now, some nuances do exist. For example, if we are faced with two opposing candidates who either both support abortion or who might allow exceptions for abortion, then in those cases, we may vote for the candidate whose policies will cause the lesser amount of harm to be done. Our goal is to place our vote for the candidate who will best advance the legal protection of the unborn child. Therefore, if we've got a candidate who fully supports legalized abortion and there is no chance that he or she will vote for any type of legislation that would make headway in the legal protection for the unborn, then we may not cast our vote for that candidate. Some people might think, but their economic policies will actually help to lower abortion numbers, so that's why I'm voting for them. Well, economic policies are prudential judgments, and none of us can know for sure the extent to which these policies do or do not help women to choose life over abortion. And I want to add my own observations and experiences here as someone who is literally on the streets helping women choose life. In most cases, it is not for economic reasons that women are having abortions. Yes, many of them are in financial need, but we can always get them help. The heart of the problem is that there is a moral and spiritual crisis, not an economic crisis. Our nation is blessed with so many resources and prosperity. The physical needs will be taken care of. The problem lies in the failure of so many to recognize the unborn human being as a person deserving of the right to life. It's the spiritual and moral needs that really must be addressed in our country right now. It is never okay for a woman to kill her unborn child. This simply must be reflected in the way we vote. We don't hear any party advocating for the direct killing of an entire group of people, like the poor or immigrants. Now, you may believe that certain policies of a particular party fail to promote the ideal common good for the poor or for immigrants, and even contribute to their non-well-being. But again, no party is calling for the direct killing of these groups. It's only the unborn for whom the direct legalized killing is seen as completely moral and even as a right. And that stance is made by the Democratic Party. In fact, the Democratic Party stands firm in its decision to back the legalization of the direct killing of the unborn up to the moment of birth. And as we've seen in recent months, they're even flirting with the idea of legalizing infanticide. Now, at the bishops' meeting last fall, several of them noted the care that was taken in using the phrase, abortion is the preeminent priority. Archbishop Alexander Sample gave the explanation for this wording. He said, "We are at a unique moment with the upcoming election cycle to make a real challenge to Roe v. Wade, given the possible changes to the Supreme Court. We should not dilute our efforts to protect the unborn. We really don't need to agonize over how we should vote because it is very, very simple. If a candidate supports the legal direct killing of the unborn, we must not vote for him or her, no matter how beneficial we think that their other policies might be. Our bishops have laid this out for us in their statement last fall. Of course, at the same time, we must not dismiss other serious threats to life, and we have an obligation to work to alleviate those. But by continually electing leaders who rabidly support legalized abortion up until birth, we actually undermine our efforts in these other areas. Remember, this is largely a spiritual crisis, not an economic crisis. Right from the beginning, it's been a battle between Satan and the child. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 says that the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth to devour her child. This is not only a reference to the battle between Satan and the child, Jesus Christ, and his holy mother, but it's also about the cosmic struggle between a culture of life and a culture of death, between the enemy of souls and every child and mother. So let's talk about the Catholic, Joe Biden, and his position on abortion. And we should be praying every day for Biden's conversion and for the gift of an illumination of his conscience. Biden seems quite sincere in his faith, and he's not shy of telling others that it is at the core of who he is. He's dealt with a lot of tragedies in his life. Namely, his wife and daughter were killed in a car accident, and his son died of cancer. He may even genuinely believe that the ideas he supports are what is best for individuals in the country. But that doesn't change the fact that those ideas and plans are very evil and will likely land many souls in hell. Okay, so in July, Biden unveiled his healthcare plan for this election campaign. Now, many Catholics and Christians might imagine that Biden takes a moderate stance when it comes to abortion. Though that was a debatable point in the past, it certainly is no longer the case today. And here's why. In his healthcare plan, Biden is all in when it comes to abortion. The plan that he promises to implement if he is elected includes a Medicare-style public option that would explicitly fund abortion with taxpayer dollars. In other words, Biden would do away with the Hyde Amendment, which currently prevents federal tax dollars from going directly to elective abortion. And this is a huge recent flip-flop for Biden, because just last year, NARAL was really letting him have it for his continued support of the Hyde Amendment. So when those within his own party began to accuse him of being racist and discriminatory against poor women because of his support of the amendment, Biden quickly calculated the political cost and then caved. But it gets worse. His healthcare plan would also direct the Justice Department to, quote unquote, do everything in its power to overturn pro-life state laws protecting women, minors, and unborn babies, including trap laws, parental notification requirements, mandatory waiting periods, and ultrasound requirements. Biden's healthcare plan would simply decimate any advancements that have been made in recent years for the protection of mothers and unborn children. Biden has yielded to the Democratic Party's platform of abortion on demand at any stage and for any reason, propped up by taxpayer dollars. By the way, Biden has a 100% rating from Planned Parenthood and NARAL for his legislative support for pro-abortion policies. When the COVID-19 crisis was going on, Biden made it a point to let Americans know that he considered abortion essential health care and that its access during the pandemic should not be hindered in any way, he said. And how very sad it was to hear such a thing, especially since cancer patients who needed life-saving chemotherapy treatments could not even get them, while abortions continued on unabated. Additionally, Biden has said that upon taking office, he would overturn the Title X rule that President Trump has enacted and thus restore some $60 million annually to Planned Parenthood. He also stated that he will repeal the Mexico City policy, which is currently preventing federal funds from being used for overseas abortions. Now, in early 2019, President Trump and the U.S. State Department had announced an expansion of the Mexico City policy because there was a gaping loophole in it that allowed non-governmental organizations or NGOs that receive foreign aid to subgrant with other groups that perform or promote abortions. So Trump's adjustment closed off millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars from being used to fund abortions outside of the country. If Biden is elected, he will restore all of that. And who knows how many more unborn children will be killed then. Biden has also said that he will restore the contraceptive mandate of the Affordable Care Act if he is elected, forcing businesses, organizations, and religious institutions like the Little Sisters of the Poor, who believe in the sanctity and dignity of human life, to violate their consciences and pay for contraception, most of which act as abortifacients and end the lives of newly conceived human beings. Now, here's the irony in all of this. You've probably seen or at least heard about the short little videos being released by the Biden campaign and the Democrats that tout Biden's Catholic faith, his acquaintance with Pope Francis, and how his values align with the pontiff's, and his admiration for the religious and nuns in the church. And yet, he favors radical abortion policies and sexual deviances. And he wants to force the Little Sisters of the Poor and other religious groups to participate in the grave sins of contraception and abortion. He and his party also want to limit the application of religious freedom by forcing healthcare professionals to participate in abortion. It's in the party's platform, and it's very dangerous. Unfortunately, there are many other crucial areas that Biden parts ways with the church and natural law on as well. Let's talk about how in August of 2016, Vice President Joe Biden proudly tweeted a photo of himself officiating at a so-called marriage ceremony between two men. "Proud to marry Brian and Joe at my house," the tweet said. "Couldn't be happier. Two longtime White House staffers, two great guys." Biden's wife, Jill, had to join in with her approval as well. "Love is love," she tweeted, alongside a photo of Biden marrying the men. Now, Biden came around on the gay marriage issue even earlier than a lot of other politicians, back in May of 2012, in fact. That was even before Obama changed his position. So, just as in the case of abortion, Biden defiantly opposes the natural law and church teaching on marriage. Again, this is a spiritual battle of epic proportions because the very foundation of society is at stake here. Remember, not that long ago, it was incontestable that marriage was between one man and one woman. It was common sense, something obvious. But we've jettisoned that timeless truth, and we're living in a world gone mad. We see the rotten fruit all around us. So it is imperative that we elect and support strong civic leaders who are willing to stand up for marriage and family life, the very building blocks of civilization. The craziness, however, doesn't end here. In late January, again taking to Twitter, Biden declared that transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. "There is no room for compromise when it comes to basic human rights," Biden tweeted. Well, that statement flies totally in the face of science. Science is crystal clear about when life begins, and yet Biden has promised to make sure that the basic human right to life continues to be denied to millions of unborn children every year. Likewise, biology tells us that the sex of an individual is determined by a pair of chromosomes. XX means you're a female. XY, a male. Very simple. But Biden and his Democratic Party buck scientific facts on the issue of transgenderism, too. Alas, he seems content to just wet his finger and stick it in the air to see which way the political winds are blowing. No need for science, natural law, common sense, nor the teachings of the church here. Biden will just go with the flow like so many others. The problem with doing that right now is that it will kill your soul. Everything that Biden stands for and that he would implement when he became president, abortion on demand up to birth and funded by taxpayer dollars, Euthanasia, transgenderism, and the acceptance and protection of a host of sexual aberrations would be devastating for marriage and family life, the very bedrock of society. Perhaps the best testimony that can be offered in defense of Biden's unconditional support for the killing of unborn children comes from the president of the largest abortion business in the country, Planned Parenthood. After hearing of Biden's choice of Kamala Harris as his running mate, Alexis McGill issued this statement. With his selection, Joe Biden has made it clear that he is deeply committed to not only protecting reproductive rights, but also advancing and expanding them. I've just given you a litany of Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's scandalous positions on life, marriage, and family, all of which are directly contrary to natural law and to Catholicism. One of the things that I personally find very disconcerting, aside from his radical stance on abortion, is how he wants to closely align himself with Pope Francis and Catholic nuns, and then, in another breath, turn around and say he's willing to violate the consciences and religious freedom of the Little Sisters of the Poor and other Orthodox Catholics by forcing them to pay for contraception and abortion-inducing drugs. That's an all-out attack on religious freedom, and that should concern each one of us. Ever since the sexual revolution and Roe v. Wade, there has been a powerful and demonic deconstruction going on, a tearing down of sexual mores, marriage, family, and especially the horrific mass destruction of unborn human life in the womb. For the past several months, we've witnessed the spirit of deconstruction now taking on a more visible form for all to see, with the rioting and violent demonstrations that have led to the tearing down of public monuments and religious statues, as well as the demolition of private property in many of our large cities. All around us, we seem to hear the death chants of tear it down, burn it up, destroy. That's how the culture of death works. It never builds up anything. Not culture, not marriage, not family, not society. We need to be very careful how we vote so that we ourselves do not commit a grave sin and share in this terrible deconstruction going on. Well, just as they did for the last presidential election back in 2016, a group of Catholic priests and laity have organized a novena for our nation from August 15th to October 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. Information on this important prayer campaign can be found at rosarycoasttocoast.com. That's all one word, rosarycoasttocoast.com. In addition to making the commitment to pray a rosary for our country every day for these 54 days, you can go to the website and sign up for daily reflections. They also plan on having a national rosary rally in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, October 11th, and they encourage similar local rallies to take place throughout the country. So that's a rosary novena for our nation. It started on August 15th, but you can certainly join in anytime. And it goes through Wednesday, October 7th. It's a battle for the soul of our nation and the Catholic Church. There's a reason why many pro-life advocates are calling the Biden-Harris presidential ticket the most radically pro-abortion one in the history of our country. And it has a lot to do with Joe Biden's pick for his running mate. We'll discuss that next time. Thanks so much for joining me. Let us always heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.